All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Telhar Raymond, and I'm a graduate student working under Dr. Bruce Lindquist at UC Davis, and I'm going to be talking about improving nitrogen use in California rice, particularly how NDVI can be used to guide in-season fertilization. Just a quick outline of my presentation. I'm going to be just talking about my research for a short while, hopefully keeping you all awake. I know for some of you that are from the West Coast like I am, that's going to be a little bit of a struggle because it's about 6 a.m. right now. So I might fall asleep during my own presentation. But and hopefully, you know, interest you guys, say something interesting so you'll have some questions for me at the end. And just to give a short, a small brief background of rice in California. So rice is primarily grown in the Sacramento Valley, which is mostly in the central part of the state in Northern California. We grow about 220 hectares of rice in California annually, and it yields exceptionally well, averaging upwards of 9 tons per hectare. And these systems are mostly all irrigated. We have a unique production system in California where we direct seed our rice into flooded paddies, flooded fields, and mostly these systems are all only rice-based systems, and we only get one crop of rice in a year. And the common variety we grow in California is called Cal Rose, and it happened to also win an award in 2015 for World's Best Rice. And since my work really focuses on fertilization and fertilizer use, I want to just briefly introduce how rice is fertilized in California. So there's two main applications, which is pre-plant and top dress. So at pre-plant, the soil, the fertilizer is injected into the soil, and I know Bruce Lindquist and others at Davis really recommend to apply the seasonal, the projected seasonal requirement at this time. And then in season, there's these applications called top dress, which fertilizers broadcast with the airplane. And this is mostly done around panicle initiation, which is a stage mid-season when the rice kind of goes through a physiological change. And a lot of my work is focused around that time, around panicle initiation. So you'll see that word come up every now and then. And so what we're seeing in California is now farmers are really starting to shift towards this pre-planned top dress application where either pre-planned has two meanings in the sense, either where they plan for it before they even fertilize their crop and they're going to withhold a portion to apply later, or where regardless of how much they apply, they're going to come back and apply top dress again. And the problem with that is we really don't know if there's any benefit, agronomic benefit to doing that, if it actually leads to any increases in production. And also oftentimes when they do it without really paying attention to their crop, these applications are in excess, which can actually have environmental losses and consequences. So to address this problem, we developed these objectives. So we really wanted to find out how much nitrogen does a crop need by this panicle initiation stage. So if you have a target, you can really understand if you need more or if you need more if you're good. And we wanted to, once you have this target, we wanted to be able to assess that. So that's where we're really using our remote sensing approaches to be able to figure out if we are at the level that we want to be. And then also we wanted to really look at this strategy where growers are withholding a portion of fertilizer to apply later on. Kind of look at if that's the best strategy or if you want to just go in the beginning of the season. So the experiment was a very traditional nitrogen response trial, which we grow rice at different rates of nitrogen, get a nice variation in response. And so we had seven sites ranging from 2015 to 2017. And in 2016 and 2017, we actually also at PI came out, and then we split the main plots further down into these subplots where we applied top dress fertilizer. In 2015, we really just wanted to kind of see where we can go with this work, and then we just did the NDVI work. So where you see the little rings that that the rice is missing there. That's where we took our NDVI measurements and we sampled those plants and brought them back to the lab. So just getting into more into that methodology, we set up these rings early on in the season. We came out, we applied the fertilizer by hand with urea, and then at PI, you can see I'm taking an NDVI measurement there with a handheld green seeker, and then we sampled those plants, and in this middle picture here, Capitan, Capitan, our beloved Capitan in our lab, is applying the top dress by hand. And then we came out at the end of the season at maturity and harvested the rice. And it's kind of sad to see that I've been able to summarize all my year's work in five pictures here, but don't tell my PI, he thinks I work really hard. Hey, Bruce. So now really getting into the meat. So we wanted to see, we take these NDVI measurements, so what does this tell us about the crop as far as how much nitrogen is in there? So on the x-axis here, we have NDVI measurements, and on the y, we have two different parameters of nitrogen. One's above ground biomass, which is just a dry weight in a meter squared, and the other is nitrogen concentration, nitrogen per kilogram of biomass. And what we're seeing, we have all the sites from 2015 through 2017 in this data. And what we're seeing is you see a really similar sort of relationship across all these sites, but within sites, between sites, there's a lot of variation. So just for example, if you were to go to 0.6 NDVI as a reference for above ground biomass, you can see there's a great amount of variation here as far as what values of biomass you're getting. And similarly with N concentration as well, you get a lot of variation across all these sites. So then what we did was we multiplied the two together and we got N uptake, and we found that correlation comes together very strongly. So that was good. That was encouraging for us to see that. So that gives us a parameter of nitrogen that we can use to really understand how much nitrogen we have in our crop at a given NDVI value. So then having that, we really wanted to make sure that this parameter of nitrogen that we're measuring really does predict the yield, because that's what it all comes down to, especially with fertilization, is making sure you apply enough to give you the yield you want. So we haven't actually processed the data, the 2017 data, we just harvested those sites. So that's why you see less sites here, but so you can see that you really get a plateau, and it kind of also comes down. And we did a breakpoint analysis on this data, and we saw that you get your critical value of PIN uptake that you want to shoot for is right around 10.5 grams per meter squared. And so that you can come back and look at having that value, you can come back and look at this graph on the left here, and you can really key in on what NDVI value you want to shoot for. And that gives growers a target that they can go out to the field, quickly measure their NDVI, and know what they want to shoot for and where their crop stands in that regard. And then we also then wanted to look at how does your crop react to applying more top dress given a different amount of nitrogen that's in your crop. So we have N uptake here along the x-axis, and this is delta grain yield. So this data is for the sites from 2016 where we applied the top dress. And you see the delta grain yield is basically your yield relative. So we had the zero, we had the control, and we applied 25 and 50. So really how applying those two rates affects your yield. And we saw you definitely have a diminishing effect of applying more top dress, so which makes sense. That you have more nitrogen in your crop, you add more and you're not getting much of a benefit from it. Actually, interestingly, we saw that we were actually getting decreases in production, which actually I don't think a lot of growers in California are very aware of that. I know for sure fertilizer salesmen will never tell you that to apply more and it'll actually decrease your yield. They'll never mention that. So this was interesting to see. Here in Davis, it wasn't as tight perhaps as in Biggs, but we had the same general response. And these sites here that are these points here seem to be leveraging the regression a bit. But here you can see in Biggs where you get that crossover from increase to decrease is really right around that 11.5 grams for nitrogen for your PIN uptake. And then also looking at the last part was looking at just how having the same amount of nitrogen, applying the same amount of nitrogen, just breaking it up between all pre-plant or applying it in two doses versus pre-plant and top dress, how does that affect your production? Do you get, is there some sort of increase to that? And across the board, we really saw that there's really no significant increase in your yield by doing that practice. So it really it's not practical to go out and actually spend more money, buy more product, and apply it later on, where you could just apply it at the beginning and you could get the same kind of yield. So then just quickly, briefly to recap, so we found that N uptake is really what you can measure with NDVI in these rice fields, and it also predicts your grain yield really well. And we saw that applying fertilizer, when you have enough nitrogen in your crop, applying additional fertilizer actually is not helpful. It actually decreases your yields. And lastly, we saw that withholding a portion to apply later on is really not practical. You don't get much of an increase in production by doing that. And so we recommend, like Bruce in our lab already, like I mentioned, he recommends to do it pre-plant, and we're seeing that really works well. And just quickly want to acknowledge the California Rice Research Board for funding this research. Cesar Capitan Abernilia, who I mentioned before, he's very vital to all the research we do in our lab. He helps out a lot. And the entire agro ecosystems lab, the JASTRO scholarship, and also the California rice growers who participated in this study. And thank you very much, and I'd be happy to take any questions. Right. Yeah.
But because those higher nitrogen rates aren't really responding to yields.
Exactly. And
it's not an issue
because it's really passed beyond the critical area where you want to see where you need to make that decision. So at that point it's already a given. You have enough. You don't really need to apply more. Yes?
What's the correlation between leaf nitrogen concentration that you measured and say leaf concentration?
There's another instrument that does that, the SPAD chlorophyll, the meter that measures leaf chlorophyll. I haven't specifically looked at the correlation between leaf nitrogen concentration and chlorophyll, but I imagine those two would be very highly correlated because nitrogen is a key aspect in chlorophyll. In the porphyrin ring, you have four nitrogens making up.
Yeah, but it's only like 1% of your leaf nitrogen is in chlorophyll. Most of it's in the proteins for photosynthesis.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that. I haven't.
The whole point is that it's the chlorophyll that's absorbing the red.
Right.
And so what you're doing is you have one correlation. You're basically having two steps here, and you're correlating the first and last steps when there's a critical middle step for you to understand.
Definitely, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, we did see, I mean, that strong correlation with N uptake and NDVI, and it held across sites for 3 years. So, I don't know if you're implying that you can't necessarily measure nitrogen with NDVI.
Well, if you take it as a correlation, okay, it may be useful.
Right.
But when you go and start applying it somewhere else, at some other rice growing area, not going to work.
Right. I mean, so we have those sites are pretty highly distributed across the Sacramento Valley. And
right, Sacramento Valley.
Yeah.
Point,
yeah. For sure. No, definitely. I mean, this presentation is specifically on rice in California. But yeah, when you move to a different environment, you have different, you have to do this work. That's why I know they're doing the same type of work in southern rice in southern United States. Yes.
Right. But in this case, you have to evaluate where are you in terms of, you know, environment. Because my question is, can you, you know, use this system as an advisory system, and then you can use outside California?
Yeah. So that's, I mean, for this, the goal of that of this is to really make it a kind of a system that we're. Where we could have growers could go in and really assess their field, and moving forward with this is using drones to do this, so you can get a spatial variation also within a field. But yes, you have to really look at, because we use a specific variety for our stuff. It's California. It's a variety grown in California. I imagine a variety grown different it would elsewhere would have perhaps a different spectral signature. So you really have to work within your environment, and that's why we specifically choose fields with one variety, so we know that, you know, those different variations in varieties, we can account for that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.